so did not deserve it is amazing. Today we come into this house to worship you and to glorify you for what you have done. But Lord, we also ask you to show us places that we need to ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. God, help us today to search our hearts and to come to you, Lord, with the things that we need and to forgive others of the things that they've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, we have been reciting the Lord's Prayer for the last 6 weeks or so. If you can recite it with me, let's go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to start there and use also a different passage of Scripture. I came in this morning, and I figured somebody must have known I was preaching, and they wanted me to feel comfortable. Most of you know I come from a Pentecostal background, and there were rubber bands and bobby pins all over the floor. Some of y'all won't get that, but I just kind of chuckled when I came in and saw them down on the ground. But today I want to talk to you about forgiveness. Pastor Ricky's been going through the Lord's Prayer for the last several weeks, and we're going to take a look at the very next verse. Last week he talked to you about give us this day our daily bread. And today I want to talk to you about forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. If you were to read this in Luke, the word that Luke uses for debts is the same word that is used for sin in some other places. So if you were to say it like this, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. You see, forgiveness is something that everybody wants. Every single one of us want to be forgiven. We all need it from time to time, but we find it hard to forgive. And some people, I don't know if you've ever met anybody that has harbored forgiveness for years, harbored unforgiveness about something just so trivial. Seems like they just keep it for years. They don't speak to their mother or their father or their brother or their sister or some co-worker just because of something silly that has been done. I'm amazed. I'm a pretty forgiving person. Now, you think because I don't have the gift of mercy that I don't forgive, but I do forgive easy. I just don't, you know, like kiss and make up a lot, you know. But there's a story I read this week. It said there was a man who was bitten by a dog, and they later discovered that the dog was rabid. Now, the man was rushed to the hospital where the test revealed that he had, in fact, contracted rabies. And at the time, this was a long time ago, medical science didn't have any way to fix the problem of him being that he had contracted rabies. And the doctor faced this difficult task of informing the man that there was nothing that they could do. He said, "Sir, we will do all we can do to make you comfortable, but I cannot give you a false hope. There's nothing we can really do." He said, "My best advice is to get your affairs in order." And so the man, he leaned back in his bed, and he was kind of overwhelmed, and he didn't know what to do. And finally, he summoned the energy to ask for a piece of paper and a pencil. And they brought it to him, and he vigorously began to write. And the doctor thought, "That's good." And he walked out of the room. About an hour later, he'd come back, and the guy is still writing. He said, "Sir, I think it's wonderful that you're finally sitting down to put your will together." He said, "I think that's a good idea." Guy said, "This ain't a will, doc." He said, "This is a list of the people that I want to bite before I die." I know some people like that. They've just harbored bitterness and unforgiveness for years and years. But you see, sometimes we think that forgiveness only affects one area of our life, or it only affects one person in our life, but forgiveness or unforgiveness and the lack of forgiveness causes problems in every single area of our life. They did a study recently on marriages and how forgiveness affect marriages. And they did a survey of 200 married adults. The researchers were wondering how one's ability to forgive would affect their marital satisfaction and their well-being. And they were astounded by the results. The results said this: the research suggests that there's a huge relationship between marriage satisfaction and forgiveness. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. She would tell you she has, yeah. In fact, it appears that as much of as a third, one-third of marriage satisfaction is based on forgiveness. Your ability to forgive and overlook something, an offense by your spouse. Not only did they find that it affected the impact on marriage, but it was significantly related to personal emotional distress. When people don't forgive, when they harbor unforgiveness, they become distressed and depressed. It becomes very emotionally stressing for them. And as forgiveness ability to went up, individuals reported fewer symptoms of depression, anxiety, and fatigue. If you come in here tired this morning, it might just be because you need to forgive somebody. It might be because you've stressed yourself out over what somebody else did to you. And you wonder why they're just going on down the road and their life is happy and everything's going along very well, but you just haven't seemed to forgive them. You see, all of us at some point in time need mercy. Every single one of us as sinners need forgiveness. All of us desire it. Now, we find it hard to forgive, and it's rare that you'll find somebody who says, "I don't want your forgiveness. I don't want to be pardoned." Now, there are some times in history that that happens. It's recorded that in 1830, a man named George Wilson was convicted of killing a government employee while robbing the U.S. mail, and he was tried and sentenced to be hanged. Andrew Jackson would have been the president at that time. He was tried and sentenced to be hanged. And Andrew Jackson, then the president, issued a pardon for Wilson, but he did a strange thing. Mr. Wilson refused the pardon. And nobody knew what to do. It confounded people that this man had been pardoned, but he wouldn't accept it. The matter went to the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice Marshall was the one who had to hear it, and he may have been one of the greatest justices of all time. And he wrote this after this man refused the pardon. He said, "A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. And if they refuse to accept it, then he must hang." Forgiveness is something that you, all of us, want to receive, but sometimes we don't take it, but we all find it very difficult to give. Why is it that forgiveness is so important? You see, I believe if you read the model prayer, that forgiveness probably may be the most important thing Jesus is trying to tell us. It is the only thing that he expounds on when he finishes. He goes through the model prayer and he says, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." That's the end of the model prayer. But the next two verses say this: "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." That's pretty hard words. That's pretty difficult stuff to read. He says, if you don't forgive, don't expect me to forgive. If you're not willing to let somebody else have forgiveness, don't expect me to give you forgiveness. And he expounds on that verse. He says, forgiveness is very important. This is the heart of praying. You need forgiveness, and you need to give forgiveness. Praying is kind of irrelevant if we don't have a relationship with God. And this scripture indicates that if we haven't forgiven and we haven't asked for forgiveness, our relationship with Him is severed, or at least it's in danger. He says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. Now listen, I want to clarify something. If He said, it says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us." If you don't forgive people, He says He won't hear you.
Sin and sins are completely different. Sin is what Jesus died for on the cross. That's everything. When you come to Christ and you ask for salvation and he washes the sin away from your heart, that's salvation. But on a daily basis, all of us from time to time are committing sins. The scripture talks about it being dust on our feet. It is things that we pick up, things that we do. And we consistently have to come to him and say, Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned. We have to keep our relationship in a right order. You see, forgiveness is so important because it affects our relationship. I believe Jesus was talking about this because this is a big deal, because it doesn't just affect you. And I know some people who don't forgive and it really messes their life up. But it's not just about you. It's not just about you and the person who did you harm. Unforgiveness affects every relationship that you have. You cannot compartmentalize unforgiveness. You cannot not forgive this person and forgive this person and it not affect your other relationships. It just happens. Unforgiveness is not just a personal issue. And there's a parable in the scripture that we're going to take a look at. It's in Matthew chapter 18. If you want to flip over there, it's Matthew chapter 18. It'll begin in verse 21. And Peter is asking this question. Peter says, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? Does anybody ever ask that question? Have you ever thought, they have done me wrong so many times, do I have to forgive them again? And Peter says, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven times? That seems like for Peter, that was a big stretch. Seven times, Lord, do I have to forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said, no. Basically, he said, you have to forgive them infinitely. Jesus said, you have to forgive them 70 times 7. Beginning in verse 21, it says, then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. There are very few people who have done us wrong 490 times. But that wasn't Some of you are sitting here thinking, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to write them down. When I get to 490, I'm stopping. That wasn't Jesus' plan. His illustration was that this is an infinite thing. You need to forgive forever. But he goes on to give an illustration. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell on the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of the slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. I don't know if any of you ever, sometimes when we get saved, we forget that the day this happened to us. After we've been saved a few years, we forgot that we had to come before the king and we owed a lot and we couldn't pay it. We forgot how big our debt was. And, we've been saved so long and we're not doing the drugs and we're not cheating and we're not doing all those things, but we used to. Paul said this, he said there are adulterers and whoremongers and alcoholics, and he goes through this big long list, and he said, of such were some of you. And if I could say something today, of such were some of us. And we all needed forgiveness. We all came to Christ one day with a great big old debt that we had no way to repay. And I remember the day for me that I came and said, Lord, please forgive me. I can't do this on my own. There's no way I can pay this. And he had mercy on me and he forgave me. But the passage of scripture goes on. It says in verse 28, but the slave, the guy who's just been forgiven, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, a small amount. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell on the ground, same story, and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay him back what was owed. I'm going to continue in just a minute. I want to talk to you just a little bit about how unforgiveness affects our relationships. If there's one place that forgiveness needs to happen, it is in our relationships. Unforgiveness affects every single relationship that we have. Number one, forgiveness affects the relationship with the offender. Now, that's a difficult person to forgive sometimes. They've done us wrong. They've lied. Has anybody ever had been done wrong by somebody else? Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one in the boat today. They stole something from you. They hurt you. And most of the time, not always, but most of the time, our immediate response is we want to retaliate. We want them to get the same thing they got from that we got. We want them to suffer like we suffer. And there's nothing more frustrating. Let's just be honest here. Let's all be real. There's nothing more frustrating than for somebody to do you wrong and it look like their life is going so good. David said that. David said, I would faint. I would get disgusted. I would pass out and give up if I looked around me and all I could see was the people who were doing good when they were doing wrong. They were being blessed when they weren't living right. I don't know about you, but that can be frustrating. When somebody does you wrong and it looks like everything in their life's going right and you're going, if people just knew. And you want to tell it, don't you? Amen. That's right, Matt. You want to tell it. You want everybody to know what kind of scoundrel they are. You want everybody to know how bad they are. As a matter of fact, you want to get them back. And that's what this guy did. He said, this guy owes me a little bit of money, and I want something. I'm gonna show him. And one of the versions of Scripture says he laid hands on him. That's not like in a church way either. He grabbed a hold of him, and he began to choke him. He said, you're going to pay me what you owe me. I demand it right now. And the guy, look. The guy fell on his face. The wording of the Scripture is almost exactly what he had just done. It repeats his actions. It says he fell on the ground and begged for mercy, and he would not give it. And how often are we in that very same boat where somebody has offended us and Christ has forgiven us much? And we've begged for his mercy and he's shown it. But when we get offended, we bow up and say, no, you're going to pay. And it affects the relationship with that other person. I don't like tension. If there is an elephant in the room, we are going to talk about it. Now, some people aren't that way. A whole herd of elephants could be in the room and they would say, what are you talking about? But if there's a problem, we are going to talk. I want to get it. We don't have to agree. That's okay. But we're at least going to talk about it and we're going to know we don't agree. We're not just going to blindly stick our head in the sand. And when somebody offends you or you offend somebody, it affects that relationship. All of you know, some of you probably had a fight with your husband or wife before you come here, and you're sitting there going, he needs to hear this. Why are you doing that? Because there is an offense there, and that there's some forgiveness that needs to happen, and it affects your relationship. You know what I'm talking about. You know when you don't speak to them. I can see people coming to church, and I know when they've had a problem with each other. How you doing? You can go up and talk to both of them, and you know that the other one knows the answer to the question that you're asking. You're like, I'll be talking to a man, and he knows the answer to what I am asking him, but it's about his wife, and he refuses to answer. I don't know, you have to ask her. Y'all are laughing because some of you have done it. When there is unforgiveness, it affects the relationship that you have with the person who has offended you. And until forgiveness happens, there cannot be healing in the relationship. You cannot heal a relationship with two people who have, there is an offense between, until forgiveness happens. Restoration doesn't always happen. Forgiveness must always happen. And you cannot begin the healing process until forgiveness takes place. But, you know, that's the easy one. Forgiveness is about the person who offended you or the person you offended. It does affect the relationship with the offender. But the second thing I want to talk to you about is forgiveness affects our relationships with others. Some of you think, no, it's just about me and them. This is nobody else's business. And I've heard people say that. Baloney. If you come to church and you have animosity or strife or offense with a brother or sister or husband and wife, it affects everybody sitting around you. Have you ever been in a room where two people were having problems with each other? You've heard the old expression, you could cut it with a knife? Yeah. That's a bad place to be. When two people are having problems and you're in the same room with them, which one do you talk to? Come on now. Who are you friends with? It causes a hush. I've been to homes where the husband and wife were having an argument. Not while I was there, but you know they had had one. Because the chill was in the room. And you know, you're trying to hang out. You're trying to have a meal, and nobody's talking to each other. Nobody's saying, they won't even look at each other. And it would be easy to say, oh, it's just between me and them. No, it affects everybody in the room. When unforgiveness happens, it affects everybody in the church. You say, no, my unforgiveness don't affect anybody else. It's just between me and them. It's nobody else's business. Yes, it does. It affects other people. This passage of Scripture, this parable, bears that out. It says that when he was unwilling and he threw the man in jail, verse 31, it says, so his fellow slaves saw what happened and they were deeply grieved and they came and reported it to the master. Do you not realize that everybody who knows you knows how much you have been forgiven? Everybody who knows you knows how much God's grace covered up. Everybody who knows you knows the big debt of sin that he paid just for you. And when you are unwilling to forgive somebody who's done something so small to you, they wonder, how can you do that because he forgave you such a great price? And these people are looking on and they're going, how can he do this? We just saw him fall on his knees before the master, and the master forgave him this gigantic debt, but yet he's unwilling to forgive. And it grieved their heart. And it grieves the heart of the people who are around you when you fail to forgive. It's not just about you and one other person. It's about everybody that's around you. When you come in here and you harbor unforgiveness, it affects the church service. All right, since you don't agree, I'm going to stay here for a minute. It's hard to sit beside somebody during worship. Amazing love, how can it be? You know, you want to raise your hands, close your eyes, and they're going, That's tough worshiping right there. And some of y'all don't see it. Come stand up here with me. Yeah, it's hard to worship with that. It affects the people who are beside of you. It affects your home. It affects you on your job. Unforgiveness affects other people in your life. And if you're not careful, unforgiveness will turn into bitterness and you'll just be a bitter old person. And the world is full of bitter old people. Now, let me back up. The world is full of some bitter young people. Because we have stopped learning how to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean there's not judgment. Forgiveness does not mean that there's not a price to pay, because you will reap what you sow. Forgiveness just means that the guilt of it is not hung over your head. And we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, and it don't just affect us, but it affects people all around us. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You have people in your life, in your home, on your job. Some of you may come to church with people who are bitter people because they have failed to learn how to forgive. Now, it's bad because unforgiveness affects our relationship with one person. It's worse that it affects those that are around us. But let me tell you what the greatest problem is with unforgiveness. It affects our relationship with the Master. Jesus said, "If you do not forgive, I will not forgive you." You know, there are some passages of Scripture, there's no need to try to preach them. And this is one of them. I can't be any more blunt or direct than that. If you're not willing to forgive, He's not going to forgive you. Unforgiveness will affect your relationship with God. It goes on to say this in this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 18. It says, they went and told the master, verse 31, and then summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. Verse 35. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." You can't make an outline that is more direct than that. He says, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart, the Lord is not required to forgive you. That's a difficult place to be. Last screen, Jenny. Thank you. Unforgiveness, when it affects me and Darlene, that's one thing. Unforgiveness, because Darlene and I have an issue and it affects 10 people around us, that's worse. But I want to tell you what. There's a bad place to be, and that's when unforgiveness affects your relationship with God. And why is it that we insist on not forgiving people? Why is it that we have such a hard time saying, "You're forgiven"? Why is it that we struggle with it so much? Ricky preached last week on "Give us this day our daily bread." And we need bread, but we need forgiveness more. I love money. Don't lie, you do too. But I need forgiveness more than I need money. I want a house, a nice house. But more than I need a house, I need healing for my soul. I want a good job and nice things, and I want stuff, and I want daily bread, and I want a bread truck. But more than I need a bread truck, I need him to hear me when I call. And if the bread don't come today, God, please give me forgiveness. And if I don't have everything I want to eat today, Lord, please show me some mercy. If I don't get all that I want in this life physically, God, please make sure that my relationship with you is okay so I can talk to you so you will forgive me. I need his forgiveness. You see, we all need forgiveness. You may have lied about me. You may have done me wrong. You may have stolen from me, hurt me, beat me, left me for dead. But you are not worth me not having a relationship with him. I like you, but I need him. And if you do me wrong, I need to forgive you because I need a relationship with him more than I need a relationship with you. I need him. Because without him, I am nothing. You say, why should I forgive? Why do I have to forgive that person that you don't know what they've done to me? I don't care what they've done to you. You need him more than you need them. And you need to be willing to forgive so that your relationship with him is right. Forgiveness is necessary because it affects your relationship with God. And I need him today more than I need anything else. There's an old hymn that says, I need thee every hour. Not every day. Not every week, not every month. I need him every single hour. And I don't need to go a time or a week or a month because somebody did me wrong and I'm just puffed up and I'm not willing to forgive them. Where my relationship with him is not what it needs to be. You know what I'm talking about? If you can't talk to your wife when she has done something silly, and you can't talk to your husband because he forgot to take out the trash, how in the world do you think it affects God when you have sinned? Your relationship with him is too important not to offer forgiveness. I read a story about a pastor who preached on forgiveness. He had this neat illustration. Had these big metal trash cans set up in the front of the church. And everybody, when they came in, got a big rock and a Sharpie. And he preached this sermon on forgiveness, and he said, some of you have come in here harboring unforgiveness about stuff that happened years ago. You're still carrying it, still carrying junk. He said, and today's the day to give it all up. Today's the day to forgive. Today's the day to lay it down. He said, so if there is somebody in your life who has done you wrong and you haven't forgiven them, he said, I want you to take that Sharpie and write their name on that rock. He said, when we give the invitation, you're going to bring that rock and you're going to drop it in these trash cans. And you're going to forgive and you're going to walk away. He goes on to tell that as he gave the invitation, he said, people young and old began to get up, and he said the noise was amazing as people began to drop those big old rocks in those metal trash cans. Boom, 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 boom. Boom. And he began to think, man, listen to all the things that people are letting go of. Listen to the forgive. Think about the relationships that are being healed with the Father because they're letting go of a hurt. He said it was just a powerful, powerful service. Like 2 years went by. He was preaching one Sunday. He said this old lady, about 80 years old, was sitting near the back, He said he gave his invitation. Nothing spectacular, nothing really big. He just gave his invitation. He said this lady came down and she prayed. And he said when she got up, he said laying on that altar was one of those rocks 2 years later. And so he went and found her when church was over with. And he said, look, I saw you pray. And he said, I saw that rock. She said, yeah, Pastor. She said, I have been harboring unforgiveness for years. She said, that day I wrote somebody's name on that rock that had hurt me years ago. She said, but I wasn't willing to let it go. And she said, I put it in my pocketbook, and for 2 more years I've carried it around. She said, but today I finally decided to lay it down. And some of you may have come in here carrying stuff that you've been carrying for years. Somebody did you wrong and you hadn't let it go. Somebody lied about you and you haven't given it up. Somebody mistreated you and you're still harboring a grudge. And I just want to tell you that He's more important than they are. He's more important than the hurt they caused you, than the trouble that is made in your life. He's more important than any frustration you had. And today, I ask you to spiritually lay your rock down and say, Lord, I'm not carrying this anymore, because my relationship with you is more important than anything else. And so today, I'm forgiven. Let's stand. Father, all of us have experienced hurts and wrongs and failures and frustrations. All of us have found times when we were needing to offer forgiveness and we failed. And today I ask, Lord, if there is someone here, whether it's fresh or old, whether it's still right there or it's just calloused over and they've become bitter, and they have failed to just let something go that somebody else did to them, I ask you, Lord, to empower people to lay it down and remember that their relationship with you is more important than the hurt that they've suffered. God, stir our hearts and bring us to forgiveness and help us to offer forgiveness. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and your eyes closed.